Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Joined now by Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. First of all, Dennis, great to have you back.
Steve, it's great. I hope everyone's having a great summer.
Yeah, so far, so good. Okay, so let's start with Colorado. Is this Rick George doing due diligence, or is there a lot more to it than that?
I think it's both. I think the fact that Rick George is doing due diligence is, and what we're talking about is Colorado joining the Big 12, possibly. The fact that Colorado is doing due diligence, and apparently Deion is all in on the possibility, is, I think, is incredible news in itself, in that it adds a level of nervousness to the Pac-12 endeavor. And talks are ongoing. Brett Yormark is a force to be reckoned with, the commissioner of the Big 12. He's trying to get Gonzaga in basketball. So it's huge.
No question. And let's couple that with the Washington State internally telling everybody, hey, we need to cap spending across the board, because he's indicating they're not going to get the money. I think that's the combination that makes the Colorado thing even more important.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that the Washington State stuff is maybe sort of isolated, but cannot be ignored. What we're talking about is Kirk Schultz, the president of Washington State, within that league, saying they're going to have a freeze on salaries, freeze on hiring, they've got to cut back. Something that schools, you know, have done in the past, but in this context is significant. I think a big part of that, which is really going to impact this deal, is, Steve, you know this, they owe, the Pac-12 owes Comcast $50 million for overpayment.
Right.
This has become a huge scandal within that league, so that averages out to $5 million per school right off the top. You know, one unless they finance it or whatever, but you want to talk about, you know, that first year of media rights they get in the new deal, I guess take $5 million off that. And how does that impact their decision?
Right, exactly. And then the question is, who pays it, the universities or the athletic departments, in terms of the give back? The Pac-12 is also being sued by the Holiday Bowl because of the UCLA debacle with NC State a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I missed that. I'm at SEC spring meetings, and I just started hearing rumblings about that. Just file that one under more bad news for the league. I mean, they look a little vulnerable if a bowl partner is suing them.
All right, SEC, 8 or 9, that, of course, has been the debate. The Pac-12, the Big 12, and the Big 10 are all at 9. I know Greg Sankey made some side comment yesterday about, hey, the conference that played 8-1, 65-7 in the championship
right.
game. Okay, yeah, I got it. But is this... to keep it at 8, is it actually the lower level teams that are driving this because they're worried about bowl games?
No, it's across the board. Georgia wants 9. LSU wants 9. Alabama wants 8. Texas A&M wants 9. Missouri wants 9. So there's no line you can draw between all those schools. The most significant development there is Nick Saban in Alabama has flipped. He was for years 4-9. He was saying, let's play 12 Power 5s across the board, you know, 9 and 3 Power 5 opponents. He wanted everybody to do that. But now he's flipped because, really, Greg Byrne articulated it yesterday on Wednesday, the AD at Alabama, when he said, we know nothing about, or we know little about what the playoffs are going to look like in the future. Because all we've been told, Steve, is that, okay, we're going to play the playoff the first 2 years, 24 and 25, and then 26, all bets are off. You know, the only thing we know for sure is they're going to be 12 teams. So Greg Byrne articulated that, saying we don't know the payout. We should be rewarded for playing Power 5 schools. We're not getting an indicator on that. And they probably won't. Because, as I wrote, yesterday, the CFP process is probably the least transparent, not only of all team selection processes, probably the least transparent in history. At least in the poll era or the AP poll, the coaches released the ballots at the end of the year. Even the men's basketball committee had that stupid thing where they put out the top seeds a month beforehand. The CFP does none of that. That Tuesday night show, Sham, it's just programming. It's for ratings. It doesn't really mean anything. And then the thing that I get really upset about is we have some of the most accomplished, trusted, not only sports figures, but people in the United States. We have admirals from Navy on the selection committee. They're not allowed to talk to the media. Great athletes, great guys that are legends. They're encouraged by the CFP not to talk to the media, as long as they're members of the selection committee. I think that's outrageous.
Oh, I think it's outrageous too. I mean, first of all, it's a college football selection committee deal. This is not a decision as to whether you're going into Ukraine. Okay, let's get this straight. It's
there you
a ranking. I'm sorry.
Exactly right. I can't say anything else. That's a great way to put it.
I mean, that's what gets me about this. And then when they always have one person talk, it's always the lead. The bar moves all the time. Nobody knows what the bar is because the bar just fits what the poll says.
Right. And I'll tell you one thing to look. You just jogged my mind here. Something to look for. Not now. Not a year from now, but it's coming soon. Opt-outs in the 12-team playoff. Because there are going to be some. Because there's going to be agents saying, all right, Bryce Young, for example, do you want to risk a $30 million payday to play maybe four more games? And I'm not singling him out, but there will be guys that are highly rated, that are convinced, rightly or wrongly, it's probably not in their best interest to play any more college football. You know what I'm saying? And so the CFP is going to have to deal with that, whether they pay bonuses or revenue sharing. We're darn close to that in college sports anyway. That's coming. What kind of incentives does the CFP provide to make sure there aren't opt-outs? I will guarantee you there's going to be some.
No, and in fact, you know what? You actually made a good choice on Bryce Young. For this reason, he's already going to the NFL, but B, he played in the Sugar Bowl. He played in the Sugar Bowl. So that's a good guy to single out and say because he's a guy that played in a game that was not a playoff game. So this 8 or 9, when it comes, Georgia's for 9, though. So what's the reasoning behind Georgia being for 9 while Alabama, as you mentioned, Greg Byrne being at 8?
They want to play the best competition they can. Two-time defending national champion going for 3, don't want to duck anybody, have scheduled, Steve, before any of this matters was a thing, had scheduled one Power 5 opponent in the non-conference from 2020 to 2033, at least one, Power 5 and Notre Dame. So they were walking the walk before any of this happened. So that's the reason why they're behind.
If they go to 9, say they went to 9, would ESPN have to give them more money because there's more inventory?
Well, the reports are ESPN's not going to pay them for 9, and that's another reason why I've already reported going into Thursday that they're probably going to stay at 8, at least for a year or two. Why they figure this out, maybe shake some more money from ESPN after they get done laying people off. But that's it, that they're not going to get paid. I asked the question to Greg Sankey the other day. I said, Greg, we're nearing the 2-year anniversary of Texas and Oklahoma, the news breaking that they were leaving for the SEC. We're in a situation now where we stand here right now that your league's not going to get one more dime for that. As we stand here right now, Texas and Oklahoma are going to get the pro rata, $60 million, and does every other SEC team, but they're not going to get more or being in the league or playing 9 games. And he kind of pushed back on that. Check our tax returns in January of 2026. Okay, we will. There'll be more money in the system because there already is. built-in escalators in these meteorite deals, but he kind of pushed back on that.
So do Texas and Oklahoma have any role at these meetings right now?
They're there. They're, I wouldn't even say advisory. They're kind of flies on the wall. That, you know, if their opinion is asked, they will offer it. They don't have voting power. They are not going to vote on the schedule thing. I would say assimilate into the SEC culture. The SIDs were here from Texas and Oklahoma meeting their brethren. So it's just, it for them, it's just the next step. I know a year from now, they'll be really bad to members.
The fact that they had to pay $50 million each just to get out 1 year early, you know, look, as you said correctly, Dennis, 2 years ago, they announced that they're going to be in, but, you know, everybody said it was going to be 25. But they're still playing in the Big 12 now. Is that a message to everybody in the ACC that, that breaking away is not as easy as you think it is?
I wrote a story last week detailing that. Basically, the ACC uses the same grant of rights as the Big 12.
Yep.
About 10 years ago, the two conferences were talking about playing a series of non-conference games together, and as part of goodwill, Big 12 Legal shared their grant of rights with the ACC, and it was not only, well, it was adopted, it was the same thing. And the Big 12 Legal team has done a great job of making it ironclad. They're incorporated in Delaware, where 65% of all Fortune 500 companies are incorporated. The college side, it makes it harder, you know, for a school. It makes it easier to sue a school like Texas if they wanted to leave. So that kept them in. I don't know the legalities. That's what I'm told. The grant of rights precedent for the Big 12 is based on a 115-year-old Supreme Court case regarding Minnesota Attorney General and railroads, and but it had something with the 11th Amendment that, again, made it easier to sue in-state university officials, and in the present day, keep them in the conference. It was really genius. So, you know, in look at these two leagues. Oh, Texas and Oklahoma left, but at the end of the deal, they didn't break their grant of rights. They paid $100 million to get out early. Yep. ACC is absolutely locked in for 13 years, unless they want to go through a massive court battle. It's going to be nine figures to get out. And they may do it, but it's never even been attempted because this thing is so ironclad.
Yeah, you also have to have a landing spot that wants you if you do it.
Well, that's the other thing, and that was in the story. I mean, at least right now, I'm told Florida State, Clemson, and Miami wouldn't be desirable in the SEC because they don't bring equal value.
That's right.
I'd say Texas and Oklahoma. Now, would they come for a percentage of a share? Yeah, probably. But that's not even a talking point because of just what we just discussed.
Right.
So, you know, it's one thing they can't get out. Two, they're not worth it to the SEC. And the SEC and Big Ten aren't just really on an expansion mode right now. I think that's the best way to put it.
Dennis, thanks so much. I know you're down at the SEC meetings, and you gave us some time today and appreciate it, as always, my friend.
All right, thanks so much, Steve.